Welcome to the Marriage Counselor's Corner. Right this way. Your therapist will see you shortly. In the meantime, sit back, kick your feet up on the couch, and get ready to focus on adding very valuable tools to your marriage toolkit. And now your host and marriage counselor, David Taylor.
Hello, hello, hello. What's up, guys? This is David Taylor, and I am your host. And I would like to welcome you to the Marriage Counselor's Corner podcast because you're in for a treat. And so thank you for coming in. Thank you for choosing to come to the couch to get your weekly masterclass on marriage. And if you're new to this podcast, if you're new to the Marriage Counselor's Corner podcast, again, welcome. Where you been? How come it's taking you so long to come to the office? And you know what? It doesn't even matter. Let me explain to you a little bit about this podcast, and then I'm going to get started. So first off, the Marriage Counselor's Corner podcast, this is the place where you're going to get credible and tangible marriage-related information from a licensed mental health counselor. That's right. I'm not just a talking head. I've been in this field for 19 years. I've been researching, studying, working, laboring, and I truly believe that I have discovered, through the grace of God, I've discovered some things that will work to make your marriage healthy. So see these episodes as a masterclass in marriage, where I take a psychological and practical approach to marriage education and enrichment. And by the way, that's my thing. This is the thing that I really feel like in this season of my life, I'm called to do. I'm called to provide marriage education and marriage enrichment. And so that's what this podcast is all about, guys. And I would like to, again, just say welcome, get comfortable. We got a lot of information to cover today. This is episode number 13, and I'm on a roll, y'all. I'm really proud of myself for being consistent. There have been days, there have been weeks where I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should skip a week. Maybe I should just, you know, delay one episode and just republish, repromote an old episode. And then I'm like, you know what? No, I committed to doing one episode a week. So this is episode 13. That's 13 episodes in a row. And in today's session, I'm going to be discussing the number one marriage killer. That's right. I'm going to be discussing the number one reason why marriages don't survive. And this subject is so important that if it is not taken into consideration, it will destroy your marriage. It's only a matter of time. As a matter of fact, as a therapist, you guys know I have my own private practice, and I have found that most couples come to me dealing with this issue, and they don't even know about it. They don't even know that this is the thing pulling all of the strings. And so once I do some digging, I inevitably find that they have broken this law of marriage. Yes, you've heard that correctly. They have broken this law of marriage. I'll go a step further to say they've broken the law, one of the laws of mastering marriage. And hopefully by now, that language should sound familiar because this information can be found in my very informative, very valuable, very resourceful book, The 37 Laws to Mastering Marriage. Now, if you haven't gotten this book, this is not, well, I guess it's a shameless plug, but go get the book. It's on Amazon. You can get it from my website. You can get anything from the ebook, which is just a couple of bucks, all the way to the paperback, or you can get the audio version, whichever one suits your fancy. But whatever the case, this is the marriage handbook. You should have it as part of your catalog, as part of your library. And this information specifically comes from chapter 18, The Law of Expectations. So if you have your book, you can follow along. I'm not going to go word for word. I'm going to add some additional things. But if anything, in any case, grab your notebook and a pen because I want to make sure that you are taking notes for this particular episode because it will be very important for you to do so. So without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and get started and dive in with regards to talking about the number one marriage killer, the thing that will destroy your marriage if you are not careful. So let's go ahead and get started. First off, I'll start with this. there are many things that can be considered marriage killers. Okay. There are many things that you got to be aware of. And despite that fact, there is one major thing that destroys marriages the most. And this is something that research has shown as well. So this is just not an opinion, but even if it were, this is my professional experience. I've also noticed that this is the main issue. This is the culprit. This is the core. Most people just are unaware of it. So that thing, that number one thing is unmet expectations. That's correct. The number one marriage killer is unmet expectations. Well, now that I have your attention, let's go ahead and dive in and talk a little bit about what this is really all about. Let me start with this. It is unhealthy. We're just going to go right in. And today, guys, I'm going to try to stick to 30 minutes, okay? I know. I say this every session, but today I'm going to try to do it in 30 minutes, okay? I'm just going to do it because it's late and I want to make sure that I'm, you know, I ain't here all night. But anyway, I'll start with this. It is unhealthy to bring into the marriage non-mutual expectations about how your spouse should make you feel and how the marriage should make you feel. I'm just going to jump right out there and start with that. It's unhealthy to bring those things. Now, most people, you know, they're not going to admit that they have brought with them non-mutual expectations about how the marriage should make them feel and how their spouse should make them feel. But in reality, it's true that we all do it. We all do it. And I want to go a step further and say this. Never use expectations to determine the health of your marriage, especially if those expectations are non-mutual. So never use expectations to determine the health of your marriage. And I know on the surface, you're going to be like, yeah, no, I don't do it. But I'm telling you, I see this all the time. These are the expectations that we bring with us, but we haven't really gotten those expectations agreed upon. And now we're using those, or we're using the fact that my expectations aren't met as a barometer for my experience in the relationship. And don't do that, okay? Just stop it. But let me explain why. See, well, actually, you know what? Let me define what non-mutual expectations are first. Let me add some more meaning to the pool. So non-mutual expectations are expectations that one spouse has about the other or about the marriage that are not mutually agreed upon. So these are things that you bring with you, maybe perspectives and desires and, you know, things that you want the marriage to produce, but it hasn't been agreed upon from your spouse. And the truth is that we often come to our marriage packaged, prepackaged with expectations about the marriage. Some of us will come in expecting for our spouse to celebrate our birthday for an entire month. We don't really tell them about it, but when they don't do it the way that we want to, we get bent out of shape or frustrated. Some of us come prepackaged expecting to have sex on a more frequent basis, but because we are expecting that that's what the marriage is supposed to provide, but we haven't got that confirmed with our spouse, or they didn't agree to that term. Now, all of a sudden, we're frustrated. We're feeling like, I don't feel validated because there's a need that I have that's coming from an expectation that's not being met. Yeah, these things happen. See, for the most part, our expectations come from those things that we feel we are missing the most. And the law of expectation states that, quite frankly, non-mutual, unmet expectations are cancerous to your marriage. And so we carry these things, though, but we don't think of how catastrophic they are to the marriage. See, when you meet your spouse, they most likely appear to be the very solution to those things that you were missing. And if you've listened to any of my previous episodes where I've talked about where I talk about why did I get married? That's episode 3. If you're wondering, why did you get married? Listen to that, answer those questions, and this will help you to understand and apply what I'm about to say now. But again, when you meet your spouse, they most likely appear to be the very solution to the things you were missing. So in a way, you bought what they were selling. Because we all, when we meet each other, especially for most of us, when we meet each other and start dating, we wear the mask. We give you our representative. So when you meet us, you meet our representative. You don't really meet who we really are, right? And if your spouse, if they were good at selling what you were wanting, you probably developed certain expectations based off of whatever they said they could deliver inside of the relationship. Listen, I could tell you stories. I could tell you my own story. You know, I sold Mandy a grandiose bill of goods. I mean, like she was eager to jump the broom. She was eager, y'all. She was eager, okay? And let me say focus. But my point is, we all came into the marriage or came into the relationship with this mask. We were selling something. And if we sold it good, most likely they created expectations based off of what we were promising to deliver. And most of the time, who we are during the dating and courting phase is not who we are inside of our marriages. Like I said earlier, we have a mask or an agent or a representative that we promote. We put that person on full display. And so when you meet me, you're meeting that version of me, but it's not really who I am. It's who I want you to see me as. And unfortunately, what you do is then you create expectations off of the mirage that I showed you. And now I have to live up to that, which I can't, right? And this is usually how it goes. And then people are unfulfilled. Then people are feeling empty, feeling disconnected, feeling misunderstood, right? They feel the pressure of performance and they fail because they signed up for a job that they're not qualified for. And because we don't know this going into our relationships, we often create expectations about how the future of our relationships should look based on our present experiences. So again, if I have certain voids, you appear to be meeting those needs, I'm going to create expectations about how the future should look in the relationship based off of what you show me. Now, it's not just your fault, okay? Because we all do it. But if you appear to be meeting a need that I have that I'm not even aware is a need, I'm going to think, oh, I found the right person. Y'all know my story. I didn't know that I had daddy issues when I met my wife. And matter of fact, this is before we were even dating. Yes, I was checking her out, but I was in a troubling ending relationship. So I wasn't really trying to do anything inappropriate. But one of the first things this person, Mandy, she was spitting game. One of the first things she told me when I met her is I could see you being my leader. Imagine that level of validation out the gate. That met a need that I was suffering from for decades and I was unaware of it. And then she says that to me, of course I'm going to be like, oh, okay, bet. So I put on a mask to become this version of myself that's getting all of these validation and accolades from her. So now I'm coming in already at a 10 or an 11. I'm promising to deliver all of this. And she's coming in at a 10 or 11 too, because guess what? She's learning that the more she validates me, the more physical affection, the more connection I give her. So we both are just smothering each other with all of these things that, you know, we decide will be indefinite once we marry. As a matter of fact, I told myself in that moment, the very first time I met her and she said that to me, I told myself she was going to be my wife. I decided I was going to marry her off of that one thing. How selfish was that, right? So anyway, let me keep going. I could stay stuck there. But because of this, we get married and then we bring those expectations with us. So now we're dating, we get engaged, we get married, and we're expecting that the marriage will look a lot like the dating process. If there was not a lot of trauma and drama and chaos and conflict. And with Mandy and I, we had some conflict, but it wasn't a lot of issues outside of just us learning each other and trying to connect in that vein. See, now, what most people don't realize, though, is both you and your spouse, you guys aren't excluded from this. Both of you guys were wearing masks during the dating phase. And I'm going to go a little deeper with this. I want to talk a little bit about the psychology behind this because I think it's important to really capture. And I also talk about this in the book. So if you're following, this is going to be on page 127. But we often carry with us three versions of ourselves, but will usually only show one of these versions during the dating and courting phase. So let me go over these three versions so that you can kind of get an understanding of what they look like, the purposes that they serve, and then I'll take this point a little further. So you have the ideal self, you have the true self, and then you have the disowned self. So let's start with the ideal self. Let me talk a little bit about what the ideal self looks like and the purpose that they serve, and then I'm going to move to the true self. So your ideal self, that's the person you really want people to see you as. So whenever you go somewhere important or where, you know, there's going to be severe consequences, let's say you get stopped by a police officer, or you're going to court, or you're at school, or you're speaking to your supervisor, or your boss, or you're at a job interview, or you're at church, right? You're going to put on this version of yourself that you really want people to see you as. See, your ideal self is a reflection of who you want to be. It's the person you present as being while on the job interview, like I said, or at church, or in a very serious situation where you want people to really respect you. Let's say you go to a speaking engagement or anything where you're in the public view. You're going to most likely put your ideal self on the forefront. This is the person that you see on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok, right? This is the reels. These are the images you see. That's the ideal self. You don't see the flaws, right? You don't see none of the flaws because the ideal self, for all intents and purposes, they're flawless. They're perfect. This person is always honest. Like I said, they look flawless with all the makeup on. With their beard fully connected, you're right. They never run late. They're generous. They're altruistic. They have good habits. They have good manners. This person pretty much has no flaws. Or if they do, even those flaws somehow make them more attractive. So think of when you're at a job interview and the interviewer says, "Tell me one negative quality." And you say, "Well, my negative quality is I'm such a hard worker that I get buried in my work," right? That's the ideal self speaking. You ain't going to tell them your truth. You ain't going to say your real bad habit. My bad habit is that I'm impatient and I'm selfish and I'm egotistical. You ain't going to say that. No, I never like to admit that I'm wrong. You ain't going to say that. You can say, "No, I'm such a hard worker that sometimes I can get so distracted with my work that I can lose sight of my other duties or obligations," right? You're going to promote yourself like that. See, your ideal self only exists in your mind. Did you know that? They only exist in your mind. You're the only person that sees your reflection the way you see it. Nobody else sees you the way you see yourself. So your ideal self only exists in your mind, but you will often spend a great deal of time attempting to create a reality in which this version of yourself does exist. Ooh, man, I can go further with this. But this is the person who your spouse most likely met when you were first starting to date them. When you were first starting to date. I know, first and start. Let's just say when you started to date them. This is the person that they met most likely when you started to date them. And this is the person you met when you first met your spouse. Coincidentally, their ideal self is the person you developed expectations around. And your ideal self is the person who makes you develop such expectations in the first place. That point is important. Please do not overlook that. Your ideal self is the person who makes you develop such expectations in the first place. Because remember, the ideal self values perfection. They value the illusion of completion. So this is who you met, and this is who you showed them, okay? And everybody was loving all on the ideal self. When I'm up there in front of the masses saying my wedding vows, that wasn't my true self. That was my ideal self. I was very poetic, okay? One day I'll read y'all my vows because I got them. So anyway, let's go to the true self because I think this is going to be important as well in understanding and specifically when it comes to managing your marriage, managing this, your expectations inside of your marriage. So let's talk about the true self. Your true self is who you really are when no one is looking. Yep, that's who you really are right now when you're by yourself. when you're on the toilet, when you're in the shower, when you're driving in your car, right? That's the true self. This version of yourself is only known by a select few individuals in your life at any given time. Maybe your spouse and your best friend knows parts of your true self, but that's still a stretch because we still like to put on a show. We are showmen. Humans love to put on a show. This is why we love drama and we get so consumed with entertainment because we love shows. We don't like to see people's truth. We like to see a reflection of how we want to be seen in other people. But let me keep going. So your true self, this person has bad habits. They pass gas in the car when you by yourself. They burp loud, right? They have road rage and body odor from time to time. This person has blemishes on their skin, stretch marks. They get ashy, right? Their lips are chapped. They have flaws. They have imperfections. This is the true self. Who you see yourself as in the mirror when you first roll out of bed, that's your true self. Your true self is constantly being pushed to the background for fear that others will actually see them. We don't want to show people our true self. This is why we wear the mask. Okay? You will use your ideal self. Here, watch this clearly. You will use your ideal self to hide your true self until you are in a place where you feel safe enough to be your true self. This is the person who starts to surface after marriage. Okay? So your true self comes to the surface after marriage because your mask will wear away. This is the person who will start to surface after marriage if they haven't already done so during the engagement phase. Some of y'all couldn't wait. Some of y'all started to show your true self. Your true self started to come to the surface before y'all got married. Okay? And this is the person who gets bombarded with the unmet expectations that the spouse's ideal self has for you. I'm going to read that again. This is the person who gets bombarded with the unmet expectations that your spouse's ideal self has for you. This person longs to truly be seen, but is constantly suffocated by your ideal self. This stuff goes deep, y'all. It's important now. So I want you just to keep in mind how this works. So you have your ideal self, and then you have your true self. And then lastly, you have this other version of yourself that in psychology, we often call your shadow self. But this part, we don't let nobody see. This third version of you is your disowned self. Now, your disowned self is the version of you who you dislike the most. This person is the guardian of your closet. You know, the closet that got all your skeletons in it. This person is the guardian of that closet. Actually, this person is the skeleton in your closet. You see, this person is actually the guardian of the closet, and they are also the skeletons in your closet, and they keep others from coming in. Your disowned self is your deepest, most private thoughts, your deepest, most private fears, and your most painful moments. Your disowned self is the person plagued by childhood trauma, the person that is still suffering from the pain of the past, that can't get over it. They still remember it. They rehearse it in their mind when nobody's around. It's this person who was sexually molested at the age of 7 by your uncle. Or it's this person who cried himself or herself to sleep when the parents divorced. It's this person that was bullied. This person that felt like they did not fit in at all in any group, but they had to wear the mask. It's that part. That's your disowned self. It's this person who desires to be loved by their mom or by their father that they have never met. That's the disowned self. So again, think about, I did another podcast episode. Let's see, episode number 9, where I talked about attachment style, right? And so remember, there are three insecure attachment styles. If you haven't listened to that episode, go to episode 9. It's really good, really informative. But your disowned self most likely is the person lurking behind the scenes if you have one of those three insecure attachment styles. See, this person carries the scars that you feel no one would ever want to see. And as a result, not even your spouse will see this person. That is, in its truest form. And they're going to get parts of it. They're going to, bits and pieces of your disowned self will, you know, seep to the top every now and again. But the full version of this person, ain't nobody going to see that person. No, this is the person that got habits that you don't want nobody to know about. So you hide this version of yourself. See, your disowned self will be seen in spurts. It is often the strongest part of who you really are. So there will be moments where residue of your disowned self floats to the surface of your marriage. See, your true self is afraid of this process. Your true self don't want the disowned self coming to the top. So they cover the disowned self with the ideal self. See, you see the relationship between the three? So the disowned self, the true self doesn't want the disowned self to be exposed. So the true self wears the mask of the ideal self to hide the disowned self. And your disowned self will rear its head when there are conflicts in the marriage, when you're triggered the most, and guess what? When you ain't getting your expectations met. See, most people marry the masked version of their spouse. That's the ideal self. They live with the true version of their spouse, the true self, and then they divorce the disowned version of their spouse. See, following this line of reasoning, it should be easy to see how expectations can interfere and create divisions inside of a marriage. So I want to, look at this. I'm already at 28 minutes. Yep, ain't going to happen. 30 minutes ain't going to happen. But I want to give you guys something that will help you to deal with these unmet expectations. Because I know I'm really just scraping the surface with this. I could do a whole 3-4 hour session just on this topic. And so I got to jump around because I'm already running out of time. But I want to talk a little bit about why this is important. And then I also want to give you some things to apply so that you can actually improve in this area. So by now, you should be able to see that this law, the law of expectations, is really important. It's really important that you pay attention to it. But if not, let me share with you two main reasons why this is so important. The first is this. See, understanding how unmet expectations impact your marriage will help you to see the ways that you could be using your marriage that are potentially detrimental to its future success. So as I've already mentioned, unmet and non-mutual expectations, they're cancerous to your marriage, very cancerous. I have personally worked with individuals whose marriage was rotten from the inside out for reasons that they were oblivious to. Like I said, they come to me in session and most of them are unaware that it's unmet expectations that's the driving force to their dissatisfaction in the marriage. In one case, a wife came to me for issues related to trusting her husband with finances, only to discover that she was inwardly resenting the fact that he was not as good at managing the money as her father was. So she had this thing that was driving her to feel resentment towards her husband because he struggled to manage the finances, only to realize that this was an unmet expectation. She was expecting him to be like her father was with money, and he wasn't. And so she shunned him. She judged him. He got tons of consequences for not measuring up. That's just one case. I can give you a million others. Okay, not a million others, but you know, I can give you a lot. So imagine learning that your distrust with your spouse's ability to manage money was really rooted in the fact that you were expecting to marry someone like your father, but instead you got the complete opposite. Right? See, this one discovery, this one thing that comes to the surface is capable of completely changing the conversation in a way that could help you to see how you are using the marriage and, hear this guys, how you are stifling its future success with those expectations. Now, I can't stay there any longer, so let me give you the second reason why this is very important. So the second reason is this: understanding how unmet expectations impact your marriage This will help you to eventually get comfortable exposing and then accepting both your true self and your disowned self. See, at the end of the day, you are all three versions. So neglecting the two versions that you aren't the most comfortable with will rob you of your ability to truly become a person capable of integrating all three versions. And by the way, you need to be able to integrate all three versions of yourself, your ideal self, your true self, and your disowned self. You need to be able to fully integrate all three of those into your individual self. Now, remember, God intends for your marriage to purify you. As I've often said, God desires for your marriage not to make you happy, but to make you holy. He is using your spouse as a mirror, someone capable of reflecting back to you not only a true image of who you are, but a complete image of who God is molding you into. This is important. This process, though, I know it's uncomfortable, it's painful, but it's highly, highly important. And most divorces happen because people are misinterpreting the pain. See, they're being molded, they're being shaped, but they don't like the pain associated with the process. So then they look at the pain and say, this is the reason why I'm out. I don't want to be married no more. Because they're misinterpreting the pain. They're blaming their spouse for the pain instead of understanding that God is simply using their spouse as a way to help them become who they are really supposed to be. Guys, don't make that critical mistake. Please do not make that mistake of misinterpreting the pain, okay? And I got more I want to share, but let me do this. Let me give you four things, okay? I'm going to wrap up here in a minute, but let me give you four things that if you apply, if you can utilize in this area of unmet expectations, you can change it from a marriage killer to something that will take your marriage to the next level. See, I was trying to think of something cool to say, like from a marriage killer to a marriage, I don't know, builder, but I didn't come up with nothing on the spot. So anyway, if you can apply these four things that I'm about to give you, these are just four strategies. These are your action items, by the way, because I'm going to be wrapping up here in a minute. So here are four action items that I want you to apply. And trust me, guys, if you can do this consistently, it will take your marriage to the next level. So first, here's what I want you to do. You have to be aware of the fact that you actually have expectations that you have brought with you into your marriage. See, how can you effectively change your expectations if you aren't aware of those to begin with, right? If you don't know that you got them, how can you change them? I want you to spend some time developing a list of your most prominent expectations for your spouse and for your marriage. And if I have more time, I will go through some examples of what that would look like. But if you have questions, if this is still confusing, listen, just shoot me a text message or an email or a message on Facebook, right? Hit me up, ask questions. I'll be there to help out. So that's the first thing I want you to do is create a list of your most prominent expectations. Then I want you to make sure that you are able to identify the source of your expectations. See, most of your expectations will have their origins in your childhood. So I want you to spend some time connecting the dots between your past and your present. And you can do so by asking yourself this one question that will help you to develop a list. The question is this: how were these expectations influenced by my childhood? Now, in the future, I would probably say within the upcoming month or so, Mandy and I are actually planning to begin doing mastering marriage workshops, 2-day workshops, and these will be virtual. And I will be hands-on giving you guys in-the-moment activities and assignments that's going to drudge all this stuff up and help you guys to better answer some of these questions. So if you're wrestling with that, hold on, I got you covered. We're going to be hitting the ground running with some workshops for our couples, and this is where we'll be going in-depth. We'll be going deeper to help you guys to really bring some of this stuff to the forefront and make better sense of it. But for now, I want you to work on this on your own and come up with a list of, you know, answer the question, how were these expectations influenced by my childhood? All right. The third thing I want you to do is And this is easier said than done, but I want you to become reasonable with your expectations. See, spend time being honest with yourself by asking yourself this question for the list of expectations that you're focusing on. I want you to ask yourself this question. Which of my expectations are fair to bring with me into my marriage? And will they help me to create a safe and secure environment for my spouse? So those are two separate questions. Now, if the answer is yes, go to the next point, which I'm about to say in a minute. And if the answer is no, I want you to get rid of those expectations. Answer those questions. And if the answer is yes, then here's what I want you to do lastly. I want you to develop a healthy practice, and this is where it's going to be important. Develop a healthy practice of communicating with your spouse the expectations that you feel are healthy for your marriage. Okay? So after you answer yes, it's not enough just to say yes, they're healthy. The next and final step is to go to your spouse and say, hey, these expectations I have, I feel like they're very important. I feel like they're very healthy. I want to know your thoughts on these. So I just want you to develop a healthy practice of communicating with your spouse the expectations that you feel are healthy. And I'll have some additional exercises. I don't have the time right now to give them all to you. If you want to do what I have in the book, just go get the book, The 37 Laws to Mastering Marriage. You can find that on Amazon. You can go to masteringmarriagelaws.com. You can pick it up from our website. You'll find it on Amazon, though, if you want to pick it up there. Just type in The 37 Laws to Mastering Marriage, or you can type in David Taylor, and my books will come up. And that book will have an additional activity that you can do. But also, come see us at our workshops that we'll be doing soon, because we'll have, oh my gosh, guys, we're going to have so much. I'm so excited for these things. Finally, I get to do more teaching. But anyway, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wrap up here, because if I don't wrap up here, I'll continue to give you guys more things to focus on. In conclusion, I want to say thank you. Thank you for choosing to spend time with me at the Marriage Counselor's Corner. I know that this episode, it touches a topic that's very important, and I'm just skimming the surface, guys. I don't have enough time to go deep, but I'm just skimming the surface. So I implore you guys to go pick up my book, The 37 Laws to Mastering Marriage, if you don't already have it. And if you don't, I don't understand what's stopping you. Literally a couple bucks, you can have the ebook version. A couple more, you can have the audiobook. And a couple more from that, you can have the paperback version. And you can order it from our website or from Amazon. They'll ship out to you, and you'll have it for your library, for your resource kit. But pick it up if you want to get more information about this particular area, as well as the other 36 laws that I cover in the book. Also, here's what I want you to do. Make sure that you are subscribing to this podcast. If you have not subscribed, please do so. You can go to iTunes, you can go to CastBox, you can go to Spotify, or any of the other directories. You can go to Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, YouTube, any of those directories. Like I said, CastBox, Good Pods, any of those will be also useful for you. Our podcast got up to number 12 in one of the categories on Good Pods, ranked number 32. And also ranked number 38 in another category, divorce category. So I really appreciate those of you that have been sending our comments and ratings and reviews. Really, really appreciative of those things. But please feel free to do that. Go ahead and give us an honest rating and review. And share this with others. Share this on social media. Let other people know about this information if you feel like it'll help their marriage. Otherwise, guys, remember, every Tuesday now, it was Monday, now it's Tuesday. Every Tuesday or Monday at midnight, a new episode is dropping. So come back and visit in a week, because I'm going to have something new dropping, some new content for you guys to take advantage of for your marriage. Anyway, guys, I'm done here. I just want to say thank you again for your time here, for taking notes, asking questions, being present, showing up, doing the work. Please feel free to keep me posted if you have any additional questions. Otherwise, stay focused, stay strategic. Stay prayerful, stay smart, and I'll talk to you guys in the next show. Deuces.
Thanks for stopping by for your seat on the couch at the Marriage Counselor's Corner. Remember, go to marriagecounselorscorner.com to schedule your next session. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so that you never miss a session. We look forward to having you back on the couch soon. Bye-bye now.